Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive. Underway right here on Fan Run Radio. A snowy Tuesday afternoon. Thursday? What is today?
Thursday.
I don't know.
Thursday.
Let's go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. It is snowing. That's the breaking news. It's very cold here in East Tennessee. There are no closings to alert you of just yet. School is fine as far as we know, but it is snowing across East Tennessee. It is expected to gradually taper off this evening, but black ice, ladies and gentlemen, may become a concern overnight.
Have you ever actually hit a patch?
I don't distinguish between ice. I'm a non-ice racist.
Well, no, black
like,
ice is
just ice to me.
There's Caucasian ice?
No. It's a very thin coating of ice that sinks down.
I know
it looks
black
like
ice
the road.
Is.
It's never...
I hit a patch one time.
Yeah?
I was coming up to stop sign. You remember your old neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you come out and you take the left there and you
Yes,
hit.
I remember the place I lived for about 10 years up until recently. Yes.
That was where I was leaving that neighborhood, and I, like, tapped my brakes, and the next thing I knew, like, before I could blink my eyes, my car had just swapped ends.
Be careful, man.
And I was way out in the middle of that road.
I used to live at the top of a hill, and so, like, I remember one time, I just couldn't get up the hill. Like, I was trying, my car's, like, spinning and everything.
Over there?
And, yeah, and it was really weird because my car, like, slid back down the hill. And so I just kind of eased it into, there was this guy, he had like a driveway in the back of his house. And he just lived there by himself, small house. And I parked my car behind this dude's house. And then I end up, and like I wasn't just going to leave it there. Like some guy, what's this car doing here? But it was fairly obvious because there's a big snow ice storm, right? So I knock on this guy's door. I'm like, hey man, can't get up. I live right up the street. I see you all the time in the neighborhood. You know me. Like, is it okay if I... And he was like, no. Can't leave your car there. I was like, really? He's like, no.
So what'd you do?
So I just, like, eased it down the hill. I was like, all right. First of all, I was like, yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Nice neighbor. Neighborly love right here. Great vibe in the neighborhood. And after I gave him an evil look, I like, eased it down into the next house and knocked on the guy's door, and he was... a normal human being, and he was like, yes, of course you can leave your car here. So I was like, thank you.
Hey, you don't want to be on the street. Your car get hit.
Yeah, no, but that was a concern, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get it off the road.
But anyway, today's not nearly that bad.
No, we don't get good snow anymore.
Yeah,
it's been a few
years.
Took
a pounding earlier.
No. I mean,
that's what she said.
Man, it was just...
damn it, Russ.
I mean, Trey loses. He'd lose his ever loving mind if he went through a real like the blizzard.
Yeah, did you ever get any snow growing up in Mobile? Like real snow,
twice.
Like shut down the city snow
twice.
Uh-huh. Flurries.
Once was on Christmas. It was like
Christmas?
A Christmas miracle. It was a because the next day it was like 70 something, but
uh-huh.
That day it was like 32 degrees and it started snowing. It's like thank you, Lord. For this Christmas miracle of snow.
And it stayed around. So, like, the blizzard
it
of 93.
It stayed around for about 5 hours. 5 hours.
You guys didn't get anything in 93 down there, right?
No, I was probably hanging out in shorts and a t-shirt. No.
No, I got hammered. I got hammered with, it was like tropical storm level rain.
Yeah.
You remember seeing the radar on that whole thing that night?
Nope. Yeah,
I was 8.
All I remember is that was the night that
Kentucky did the J-O-B.
Kentucky hammered us by 61 in the SEC tournament, which was in Lexington for some reason that year. And Rick Pitino got up there after the game and
he did what
and said,
Rick Barnes did the other night with Stackhouse.
So he did, yeah, exactly. That's what I think of every time that happens. When a coach is obviously not cut out for his job, and he's struggling, and he's lost his team, and the fans want a coaching change, and he gets blown out by a hated conference or in-state rival,
yeah.
and the winning coach goes to his post-game press conference and is like, oh, I think so-and-so's doing a really good job. I'm impressed with the way his team fought, and they're lucky to have him. Really ought to keep him around. That's
basically what Barnes said the other night. He didn't make it off the court.
I always think of 1993,
yeah,
when Kentucky beat us 101-40.
Good gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
101-40. Allen Houston's last game as a Vol. It was so humiliating.
Did he score all 40 of the points?
Probably.
Y'all were in a blizzard?
Yeah, well, the blizzard, that night a huge blizzard came that shut down the entire town for like a week. Like, what do we have?
Wait,
maybe
3 feet of snow?
A foot of snow? Several feet of snow?
Yeah. Several feet of snow. I mean, Knoxville was
just shut down.
Yeah.
No power at our house for like a week. I mean, we're sleeping in front of the stove. And it was actually fun as a kid.
Trying to get a generator.
It leads to Russell's greatest childhood memory. Getting to go to McDonald's after when you first got out for the blizzard.
McDonald's never tasted
so good. Tell him what the old
so
man
good.
Did. Let you get the full money, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. We got out there, got to McDonald's and Kings to Pike over there at Bearden Hill, somehow made it in there for the first warm meal in a couple of days. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Have some burgers.
Great.
But, yeah, that's what – Rick Barnes kind of did that. Now, I've been getting some different feedback on this. Obviously, Jerry Stackhouse's first year, and we've heard the rumors about, you know, obviously the guy who brought him in there. It was a very experimental hire to begin with. The guy brings him in there, crashes and burns in less than a year, spectacular fail. And now there's rumors that, like, Stackhouse might be looking to get out of there. But Barnes was very complimentary of him the other night after he drilled him. And who did we talk to yesterday? Withrow was saying that, was talking as if he's going to be there for the future.
Could be. All depends on how comfortable things get over the next couple months.
I guess you really can't afford to fire him if you don't have any money. You don't want to buy out a guy after 1 year, right? But if he's not recruiting,
he goes to another job or go back to the G League.
Have a mutual parting of the ways.
Yeah, that ain't working in Nashville. I'm sorry. The guy's not even recruiting for next year or the year after. So, I mean, usually that doesn't turn out well. I just don't see Stackhouse in Nashville in a year, either by his own accord or getting
it
fired.
Seemed like a bizarre fit anyway, right?
His buddy hired him. His buddy did him a favor. His buddy was running the G League, so he took the G League Coach of the Year.
Did you guys see the pictures from Texas's game last night?
No.
They're playing TCU at home, right?
So bad.
Interstate, interconference matchup. Like, not a huge matchup as far as national implications, but a game that at the University of Texas in Austin you would think would draw over 10,000 people.
It would here, a game like that.
There's nobody there. And when I mean nobody
mean
there,
nobody?
Like maybe about 100 people in the stands. Like, go look at it. I posted a picture last night on Twitter. It's shocking.
You did?
How few people there.
Yeah, you can go look at it. Yeah, there's nobody there. The student section was empty.
So you wonder who wins the John Beilein sweepstakes?
Wow.
This spring.
That's before the game?
It was like right before that. They're doing pregame introductions at that point.
Yeah, that was the intros.
That's like 2 minutes till tip-off.
What do you think, honestly? Maybe 800?
Yeah, probably less than 1,000, right?
I mean, it might be like 500, if that.
So, obviously, they need a new coach. Do you think, if you're Beilein, where do you want to go, and where do you see him as a good fit? That's
Beilein
a good job.
Could do some damage at Texas.
It's a good job.
Yeah.
If I Beilein
a lot like Rick Barnes, though.
Yeah, I think he's a little older than Rick Barnes.
I'm wondering if Texas
is it John Beilein or Jim Beilein?
John.
I wonder if he'd rather stay
Jim Beilein
in Midwest, North type area. I don't know. Texas is a weird spot for him to be at.
I don't think he's going to do that much. I don't know.
He is 67 years old, so that's about Barnes' age, right? Is Barnes 60, or is he 64?
Barnes
65.
65. Okay, 2 years.
65, 67. That's
same thing.
Yeah, basically, he's a little bit younger than
me. I mean, who else is there that they could? I'll tell you, if I'm Texas, who I go after if I'm their biggest booster? Fly to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And I start adding zeros until he says yes.
Did you see where
how much
they...
damage could Donovan do in Austin?
Oh.
He'd be good. He seems pretty settled in at Oklahoma City, though.
Texas also has something else that's going against them. They are opening this brand new arena next year that is going to house like 10,000, but the architecture is so crazy, they're going to be able to like push a button pretty much, and it's going
I've
to
seen
expand
that.
To 19,000.
That opens next year? They're building that now?
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then my solution is the best. So you go get Billy Donovan. You got to get somebody that's going to be able to sell tickets.
But it's very cool, though. Like, they only hold 10,000 for basketball, expand out 19 for a concert.
Okay. I mean, how much do you think he makes at Oklahoma?
Probably 7 or 8.
I mean, Texas should just hire me to do their coaching search, Russ, honestly.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
What would you call your search firm?
Nothing.
Bear Associates?
I'd talk to Russ, and then I'd probably go get a check and a pen, and I'd sit down and look him in the eye. I'm not going to stop writing zeros until you say yes.
We're up to $40 million.
You seriously don't think nobody else has thought of that? It's like, let's just give him a lot of money.
I don't know that anybody else is willing to go as far as I'm willing to go with somebody else's money.
When it's not your money, there's no limits to how much you'll spend.
We told Bear Search.
I'm just if I'm the University of Texas and I got that kind of multi, you know, however many gazillion dollars that thing cost to build, you've got to get an A-lister.
Okay, here's the other thing to watch in college basketball this year. You continue to the tea leaves continue to turn up that the NCAA is going to come down hard on a couple of schools. By the way, they've already they hit Pitt earlier today. Kevin Stallings has been hit with a show cause in a
Friar Tuck has?
Yeah.
What'd he do?
I don't know.
Pitt's not enough.
Pitt's so irrelevant to me that it wasn't enough for interest me enough to actually click on the story and find out what he did.
He was letting non-technically assisted coaches coach during practice. That's it.
He got a show cause for that?
Because he hit it. He destroyed practice tape. He did not cooperate with the NCAA.
Cover up worse than the
That's
crime.
Just because Pittsburgh is so bad at basketball, he didn't want anyone to have to see that.
He got Bruce Pearl's what he
well,
got.
Well, no, not technically. Here's the thing. He got a show cause, but if a school hires him, he has to sit out 30% of their games of the first season. So he's not technically banned, but he has to sit out 30%.
Would Vandy take him back?
Hell no.
He's not good enough to rate that.
So here's the thing. If the NCAA, as some people are expecting, comes down hard on a couple of schools, including perhaps Kansas, LSU, Arizona, after the season to the point where those schools have to make coaching changes, which of those schools would be likely to go after a John Beilein? And what happened? Do they hit a Will Wade or a Bill Self with a show cause at that point? And if so, would you just say, you know what, the NCAA is such a wounded animal at this point, I'm going to show cause. Bill Self is a good coach. I want to hire him to run my basketball program. We're going to tell him not to do that again. We got a compliance staff. We're going to watch over him, but I'm going to hire him. I always wonder why nobody tried that. It's like it doesn't say you can't hire him. It just says you have to show cause that you want to hire him. We got a reason.
Remember that would happen with Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah.
Houston had to hire him.
And they did, right?
Yeah,
they said, look, we
realize
why he's in trouble. We realize this will reflect poorly on us if he gets in trouble again, but that's a chance we're willing to take.
Maybe Texas – the problem with Beilein is he's a program builder. He's not a walk-in, turn-it-around-in-one-year coach. And that's Texas kind of seems like that's their M.O.
Texas just needs a splash.
Greg Marshall from Wichita State.
That name's gone down the drain over the last 4 to 5 years. He missed his opportunity if he ever wanted to get out of there.
Maybe he didn't.
That's what I'm saying. If he
I always heard he had a really sweet gig there. They were paying him $3 million a year. He basically had a jet that he could use whenever he wanted to for recruiting. There was no pressure. There was no competition in that league. It's like, yeah, why would I want to go rebuild Alabama or South Carolina or Tennessee, for that matter, and put up with the pressure and all that stuff when I've got it made in Wichita? Little White Stripes reference.
Wichita over Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own. You know, some people, the big city life ain't for them.
Yeah, I could see it.
Take a quick break. The Drive just getting fired up on a Thursday afternoon, a snowy Thursday in East Tennessee. Coming up, we'll get your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. A lot of Tennessee news this afternoon. We'll sift through it. Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drives. The Drive is back.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. It's real estate done the right way. Check out the Craigner Group online at bowknowshouses.com. Tennessee basketball Vols back on the practice floor this afternoon. Next up, Tennessee travels south to battle the Auburn Tigers. Bruce Pearl's squad coming off a humiliating defeat last night. They went down to Athens and
took a beating.
The Pearl went down to Georgia and was looking for a game to steal. It didn't work out. Did not work out.
13 at one point.
Wow. Woeful Georgia with a huge win for them. Tip-off for the Vols and Tigers is high noon Saturday. CBS has the telecast. We're 0-2 on those CBS games so far.
Those odds.
What, 0%? You like those odds?
Hey, 0-2. I mean, we got to win one eventually.
It's negative 20%.
All right, so what's our confidence level headed to Auburn? If it was about 10% yesterday, what is it today?
No, I'm still hovering around. I've seen this movie before, Russ. I know the ending.
I'm up to about 20%.
Really?
Yeah.
No way, man.
We got a chance.
Auburn, that kid's going to be healthy by Saturday. He'll play, and they'll fix all their problems they've been having by blowing us out of the barn down there.
70% chance Tennessee goes down there and beats Auburn.
What?
I think it's 70%. 70% chance.
Well, we're screwed.
Have you been right on a prediction lately? What was your last big call your shot moment, Trey Wallace?
Didn't you pick Vandy over Florida?
That didn't even play.
He had the game wrong.
He gets a pass for that because
the game
actually didn't happen.
I don't know. I just have a feeling Tennessee's going to go down there and play good basketball.
John Tyler, where are you?
Man, I really wish they hadn't lost last night. Like, I feel if I was probably about 25% yesterday, honestly. I'm probably at 10 now.
Really?
They've lost to Florida, Alabama, Missouri, Georgia on the road in the SEC.
On the road.
Okay, well.
It's completely different there. I mean, their fans are, I mean, luckily it's 11 a.m. Central. You know, those Auburn students
are all best player.
Wasted.
What is that kid's name? Is it Oscar?
Okoro.
Bruce Pearl loves him some funny names on the team.
Scotty Hobson.
Did you see him post-game last
Manuel
night?
Manuel Negidu. Do what?
You see him post-game last night? He was almost kind of choking up.
So. Bruce Pearl.
Oh, God.
This was on me. If you got my back, I got your back. Let's go get him.
Jeez. What a phony, man. Can't stand
crying Bruce Pearl. Is there anything worse?
Fake tears. Bruce Pearl's crocodile tears. It's just... I mean, sure, Jamie would be there to lap him up right off his cheek. Sweet, nourishing pearl tears. But for the rest of us, kind of gross. Tennessee Lady Vols back in action tonight. They're in Fayetteville taking on number 22, Arkansas. Big game for Kelly Harper's squad. 6 o'clock tip, 7 Eastern at Bud Walton Arena.
If I told you you had to drive to Fayetteville, Arkansas, watch Tennessee women play Arkansas women, how much would I have to pay you?
There's no amount of money. Life's too short.
No, man. That's okay. Honestly?
Yeah.
I'd do it for
a grand?
$5,000.
To pay for our own gas? Or out of the money?
I'll take care of your gas.
Where am I sitting?
It doesn't matter. Pick a seat.
I'll sit outside the arena. Do I have to go in? I don't care.
I'd do it for $1,000.
$1,000.
Profit. $1,000 profit. Yeah. Not counting gas or food.
You're driving the Fayetteville.
Yeah, I'd do $1,000. I might even do it for $500. I don't know.
Tennessee had a decommitment yesterday. That Isaac Washington kid, the defensive lineman from North Carolina who committed a couple weeks back, decommitted. And he said, in an ironic twist, that the reason he was decommitting was because he was close to Tracy Rocker, and now Tracy Rocker's gone.
How many stars?
He was 3-star, but he had a 4 or 5-star offer list.
Which kid was this?
Isaac Washington.
Defensive lineman from North Carolina.
It's February.
So Tracy Rocker couldn't recruit defensive linemen for us when he was here, and now that he's gone, he's still costing us defensive line recruits.
He probably called the kid and said, "Hey, man, could you please say I'm the reason that you're decommitting?"
Why would he say that?
Because it'd make me look really good.
Maybe he's recruiting him to South Carolina now.
Yeah, exactly.
Undefeated Tennessee baseball team hits the road. They will play number one Texas Tech tomorrow at 8 p.m. in the Round Rock Classic. Play Houston on Saturday at 3 and then Stanford Sunday afternoon at noon. What is an acceptable result for Tony Vitellico's baseball Vols this weekend in the Round Rock Classic?
Let's go 2-1.
2-1? I'd take that.
Yeah, 2-1.
I don't know anything about Houston or Stanford, but Texas Tech obviously would be a huge feather in your cap. That is the Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Folks, if you've got home buying or selling questions, if you want to know how much your home is worth, if you want to know some tips on how to sell your home faster and for more money, if you want to sell your home at a particular price, want to know how market changes are affecting home values in the area, want to know if you're eligible for Homes for Heroes, then you could get the answers to all these questions and more at BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group doing real estate the right way. Check out their website, BoKnowsHouses.com. When you contact Bo, be sure to tell him you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group, BoKnowsHouses.com. We'll open up the phone lines to you.
I have something interesting.
865-546-8200. You think they just know the phone number off the top of their head?
Well, you
546-8200. What's something interesting, Trey?
Well, you paused right there, so it gave me an opportunity to pop in.
I pause for effect.
I know
you
got
to let it breathe sometimes. Just let it breathe.
Marshall and East Carolina will open up the college football season on week 0 this year. Remember how we got the Florida game last year?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it to honor the 50th anniversary of the tragic plane crash of Southern Airways Flight 933 that claimed the lives of 75 people. Those majority were the Thundering Herd football program.
Why is ECU doing that?
Because they got to play somebody.
They're playing Marshall. They're
playing Marshall.
But it's at ECU?
No, Marshall.
Oh.
It's the 50th anniversary of the plane going down.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so what was that like, Bear?
I don't know, Russ.
Too soon. Very sad, man.
It's neat that they're playing. I think it's cool they get a stage to play on.
Did you see that one of the guys who survived? Have you heard of the Munich air disaster? Manchester United in the late 1950s was.
Is that where they ate each other? To stay alive on the side of that mountain?
No.
What?
That was that movie.
Soccer team.
That was Everest.
That was a soccer team, though, that he's talking about. That was a South American soccer team.
Yeah.
This was an English team.
English.
Well, the guys who was on the plane survived that plane crash died the other day. Their plane was all rickety. Imagine being.
You know, we're at the point in the show we're just bringing the stuff that we've come across.
Air disasters. You know, that one, you had the
Whitey Bulger. Did you see this today?
What about him?
Apparently he was in the MK Ultra program.
What's that?
The CI program where they experimented with incredibly high doses of, you know, pharmaceutical grade LSD on prisoners.
That'd have been interesting.
Like without them knowing they were doing it, or
I mean, they were using prisoners. I don't. It's 1950s CIA. They just, I guess, they came and got them and just took them to their CIA clubhouse and just dosed the hell out of them. What a mind bender that would have been. 50 times. It's interesting because he wasn't that violent before the experiments. Apparently, he's not the only person.
So you're saying the U.S. government has the blood of Whitey Bulger on their hands?
I mean, they may have very well created a monster and turned him loose on the world, yeah. If that's what you're asking me, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Were they doing it to create new super soldiers for use in combat, or?
I don't know if they've ever really gotten out of them what the point was. They claim it was to cure schizophrenia, but.
Isn't that what happened in The Manchurian Candidate?
I don't know.
That was a good movie. That one.
The original one or the new one?
Both were good. Denzel one was kind of weird.
I've never seen the new
one.
That's
the one with
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Lee Schreiber.
Yeah.
Ray Donovan.
Frank Sinatra.
Very good. In the original? I've never seen the original.
Very good.
You think you could make it through a program like that, Russ, and come out the other end? How do you?
No.
Whew, that'd be tough.
No. No.
You don't want to get dosed 50 times? An incredibly
then try to do
incredibly pure, high-powered acid.
I barely survived the incredibly bad experimental decisions I made 20 years ago in college, let alone like 50 times. Are you kidding me?
CIA, no, government, no, black
completely
project.
Insane. Yes, I would probably become a homicidal maniac just like Whitey Bulger. Just like most people would probably.
Hayden,
given that amount of drugs.
Hayden coming in clutch with the Marshall flight facts here.
Oh, boy.
The Marshall flight was...
Let's get back to this feel-good topic, please. Yes.
Returning to Huntington, West Virginia after a 17-14 loss to Eastern Carolina.
Yeah.
What was the one... There was some sports plane crash where they were headed to MTSU.
Didn't the Oklahoma State basketball team have a plane crash?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Everybody die?
No.
I don't think everybody was on the plane.
It was only like two players.
Who was the soccer team that ate each other? That was wild.
That was a South American soccer team. They crashed on the side of a mountain. And yeah, they were. Have you seen the movie, Alive?
No.
It's a pretty good movie.
You know me. I'm not really into death and cannibalism.
Oh, it's great. It's really fun stuff. But yeah, most of the team survived.
Okay.
And they think, well, the plane's down, so they're going to come rescue us, right? And so they're waiting there for like several weeks. They have a little bit of food on the plane, but eventually they run out and they start slowly starving to death. But there were dead people. There's a very good movie in the mid-90s. It's called Alive. And they did what they had to do to stay alive. They ate.
If we were all on an airplane and crashed, who would we eat first? Yeah.
What the hell?
I'm sorry, man.
Why me?
I don't know.
Why not some fresh meat like Hayden? He's young and got a lot of protein in him.
Fresh fish. I don't know why that keeps coming up on the show.
Well, I'd kill you before the plane went down. We just eat you then.
See, me and Russ would be last because we don't have a lot of meat on our bones. Like, we're
feel pretty good.
Guys.
I feel pretty good about my chances.
Yeah.
No, you're going to die because I'm going to kill you before the plane crashes.
Why would you murder me before the plane crashes?
What
if you survive and then you're a murderer?
Well, doesn't matter. Whatever. Sorry. Stuff happens when the plane goes down. I didn't mean to snap his neck.
I'm going out like Ronnie, man. Tell everybody you love him and sit down in the front seat for the best seat in the house for it. Eyes wide open.
Bear would be the guy with like a shattered spine that I would have to carry down the mountain across my back. Dan, I ain't Skippy leaving you behind, Bear.
He'd be
you're
like,
coming with me,
Lieutenant
baby.
Dan, leave me here.
Let me die like a man. It's not your time. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Coming up, we'll find a Rick and Rich barbecue smoke and hot question to get into. A couple of other things we're going to unpack for you this afternoon. Greg Schiano speaks.
Oh, gosh.
A little bit. he did address the Tennessee situation probably more in depth than he ever has before in an interview with The Athletic.
Punk.
We'll let you know what he had to say when we continue next on The Drive.
The Drive.
Who's the writer? Nicole Auerbach.
Auerbach.
Is she on our list?
No.
Shouldn't be.
I thought she did a pretty good job. I thought she was very fair in presenting it. She's interviewing Schiano up there at Rutgers, and she's asking him about a bunch of things, but of course asking about the Tennessee situation. And she explains it. She explains the whole thing. I thought she did a good job of saying, you know, for a lot of fans, or not even a lot of fans, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said some people used the McQuarrie-Sandusky testimony as an excuse to pile on a coach that they didn't like because they didn't think he was good enough. But she also said, like, for some people, that was probably, in their mind, what they believed to be a legitimate excuse, basically. His quote was, "To see stuff written, number one, that is totally untrue, and number two, is really nasty. That's not nice for anybody to see, especially my family, Schiano says now. Looking back, I think God has a way of getting you where he wants you. Sometimes it may be a little painful, but I don't doubt for a second that this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm very fortunate." Schiano says that he doesn't remember exactly how he found out that the deal had fallen apart, just the feeling that he'd gone into the team meeting in Columbus, and by the time he was done, it was all over. Quote, "It really wasn't a lot of fun, but the good thing is we had the Big Ten championship game to prepare for, and that's exactly what I did. We went and played a really good defense against Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah." And that's really all he said about it, which is not surprising. Look, he's never going to get into the Sandusky stuff head on. And even if he did, would you believe him one way or the other?
No.
Probably not.
You know, I've always said I hope that what Mike McQuarrie said under oath, under the penalty of perjury, was not true. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but I don't know if it is. You don't know if nobody knows. If the only people that know it, you know, is Greg Schiano. And why on earth would he ever say, especially now, "Yeah, I saw Jerry Sandusky assaulting a little boy"? He would never say that, of course.
No.
So, look, that is 3 years in the past now. Tennessee has moved on. Penn State has moved on. Schiano's moved on. Rutgers, like, all parties moved on. It's probably best to let this die. And Lord knows we have talked about it enough on this show, probably more than anywhere else in the world on this show. Like, we've really gotten into this. I think Tennessee fans can lay their head on the pillow at night, secure in what we did and what we think about it. I think, and I hope Greg Schiano can do the same. That's between him and the Lord at this point. So, is it over? Are we prepared to close the book on this whole sordid affair? No?
I always reserve the right to reopen it. The book will never be closed on Butch. Okay. The book will never be closed on him. If I feel like taking a cheap shot at him, I'm going to take it every time.
But, okay, well, that's different. I'm just saying, as far as, is there anything new that could come out that could change how you feel about this entire thing?
Not until he raises one hand and puts the other one on a Bible goes under oath to be deposed.
And we don't think that's ever going to happen, no. Correct? So it's over, right? Like, as far as new information coming to light,
I'd like to know when the first time that John Curry reached out to Greg Schiano was about the head coaching job.
I'm over it. I don't care. Move on, bro.
I didn't buy the whole, you know, he reached out to him in that certain period right after Butch got fired. I think he was talking to Greg Schiano during the year.
Listen, man, there are plenty of people who just didn't like him as a head coach, and that's fine.
He was just ass.
That had nothing to do with it. For me personally, and I might be in the minority, I don't know, and I'm kind of like John at this point. I've moved on, but I just didn't want to have to look down there at the sideline every time Tennessee played a game however long he might have been the head coach here and wonder, man, I wonder if he knew what was going on with Sandusky up there at Penn State. I don't want to have to think about that while I'm watching my team. And I'm glad we put a stop to it, man. And I hope he didn't know anything about Jerry Sandusky. That might be true. I hope it is. But we'll never know for sure. And that would have really bothered me if that guy had been our head coach, whether he was successful or not. So I hope Rutgers find – majority of Rutgers fans are obviously fine with it. That's who they wanted. More power to him, man. I hope he does well up there.
The media in this town would have had a field day with Shiano.
That's worth it. Right? As long as the media is happy, we don't need to win football games.
Well, that's basically the Mike Leach debate, right? Is what do you want?
We would have won more games with Leach than Shiano.
Yeah, but Mike Leach would have sat there and talked with us for 40 minutes.
But is Leach more? Is Leach going to be more successful than Jeremy Pruitt is going to be here?
No.
It all depends. Can Mississippi State fire off 8 to 9 wins a year? Tennessee has not proved that they can fire off 8 to 9 win games a year.
No, they haven't.
Mississippi State has.
Jury's still out.
Yeah.
With Mike Leach, they didn't. They did with Dan Mullen.
Okay, well, you're still recruiting the state of Mississippi. You're still in Starkville, Mississippi. It's proof that you can do it at the school.
It's proof that Dan Mullen can do it at the school.
Yeah, Dan Mullen can. He wasn't going up against Lane Kiffin down the road.
Up against Hugh Freeze, though.
Nobody's going to argue that Mike Leach is not a more accomplished head coach than Jeremy Pruitt. You can't make that argument. That's just patently false, right?
Yeah, but you can't.
It's apples to oranges because he hasn't.
You can't judge, Mississippi State and Mike Leach on what Dan Mullen did.
No, but you can say that Mississippi State has gotten to the point where they have won over 8 games for consecutive seasons, though, at that university. It can be done with the right person.
That remains to be seen, but we can judge Mike Leach on what he's done at Washington State and Texas Tech. Those are two very hard jobs to win at, and he won at a very high level, both of those jobs.
He also lost. There were some seasons where they were catastrophic failures, what we would call catastrophic failure, 3-9.
What, like? Losing at home to Georgia State, BYU.
That helped me finish the year.
That's good.
It's never far for you with this Mike Leach. You get Mike Leach on your brain, and now here we go.
Utterly outstanding.
It's going to be fun when him and Jeremy Pruitt are speaking the same day.
Oh, yeah, they're down there at SEC Media
Along
Days.
With Nick Saban on the same day.
Have they already announced what?
Yes.
Came out today.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in like 15 minutes.
Coming up on the Top 4 at 4, presented by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. 865-546-8200 is your number. We'll bang out some phone calls. 546-8200, your number to get on the show. We'll be live tomorrow at National RX, featuring 15% off all Ananda Professional CBD products for fan-run listeners. All you got to do is let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. 15% off the best CBD products available in Knoxville. You can get that right now, or you can come out and see us tomorrow for 3 to 6 right here on Fan Run Radio as we broadcast live at National Law Rex, 11134 Kingston Pike and Farragut. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio continues. 865-546-8200. So it was a rugby team, I believe, was the subject of the movie Alive. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was a rugby team?
Evidently, yeah.
Well, I could see rugby players doing that.
What's the difference?
They're a lot more
between rugby and soccer?
Very similar, right?
No.
I thought you would be a big rugby guy.
Nah.
Okay.
Sport for Aussies and Kiwis.
No, you're thinking Australian rules football. Rugby is
hardcore.
Very much worldwide. Oh. Played in America, too.
It's not King football, Russ.
I've never really understood. I will be honest, never really understood the rules to rugby or Australian rules football. It's just...
Rugby's fun, man. My buddy played it at Alabama. It's pretty neat just to watch.
I can't.
Very violent.
I've watched before. I don't understand what's happening.
No
but
pads.
See, that's a misnomer. They claim we don't wear pads. It's a really violent. No, it's really not. You guys are not hitting the same way.
Wait, now.
There's a huge difference.
What?
He's changing his tune almost. Didn't know what it was 2 seconds ago. Now all of a sudden.
No, as soon as he said we don't wear pads, I thought of that. There ain't nobody like Richard Sherman or any kind of NFL level safety, strong safety. You know, just complete
murder.
Have you
seen the hits that go on
in
rugby?
They don't. It's totally different kinds of hits, man.
It is different.
They don't watch them.
Fourth drum in rugby.
And those guys do not. They're not anywhere near as fast. They're not in the same zip code of speed as guys are in the NFL.
I have a friend who owns a business here in town who played both. He played football at Florida State and then transitioned to playing rugby. And he told me that football is much more violent. And he basically said it's because of the pads. And this is the argument Mike Ditka and others have made about if you want to make football safer, take away the helmets, is that when you have a big plastic shell on your head, you're much more likely to use your head as a weapon. Whereas if it's uncovered, you're not going to run into somebody head first, you know, which is basically what the rugby guys do. And he was my buddy was basically saying, look, in rugby – you don't have the collisions that you have in football where guys just run into each other, straight into each other.
High speed.
Rugby collisions are much more glancing and like, you know, twisting. And there's a reason, too, why a lot of teams, football teams in America, are going to what they call rugby tackling now. There's a really cool video about this on YouTube.
Is it safer?
That Pete Carroll did. The Seahawks do this now. And
one of the best tacklers in the NFL.
Greg Schiano is a big proponent of rugby tackling at Ohio State. And,
seems
and
right.
He made Urban Meyer change to this. But I won't pretend to be an expert on it, but it's basically like instead of just running through somebody, you grab somebody and you like fall and twist your legs. And there's like different variations of it and all this stuff. But rugby is safer, I think, is the big takeaway.
Yeah, this video definitely proves it. I'm going to retweet this out right now.
You do that.
I mean, there's not
the two most violent sports are probably the NHL and the NFL. It's not even close. Primarily because of just the speed of the game that those guys play at.
Have you gone down the YouTube hole of watching hockey's greatest injuries when a lot of skates cutting necks?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that only happened once. Was it Clint Malarchuk?
Yeah, that's
pretty
bad.
Almost bled out on the ice. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Oh, my nephew got a compound fracture and took a skate, like, boom, boom, and a really bad injury in a hockey game over in Nashville.
I went down the rabbit hole of best college basketball finishes last night. It was late. Bunch of great shots.
Not a very violent sport, college basketball.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Seems like a pretty wild, pretty trippy rabbit hole to go down.
Wild night exactly. At Stately Wallace
so
Manor.
Like keeping your head?
Wow.
I didn't think so. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, just had a
parkour is pretty crazy.
Decapitation threat on the drive.
Absolutely. We're
getting real here.
Absolutely.
The NFL
Burn the tape.
One.
Every day.
Coming up. Yes, Bear.
I don't know what I was going to. I'm Go ahead with your
segment. Amtrak of thought is derailed.
Yeah, it's
speaking of Amtrak, how about that one from Nashville to Atlanta? That'd be pretty cool.
Coming up in hour number two, we'll have the top four at four brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. John Tyler will be in with all the latest sports information for your brain so that you can, do the deal. Sports death, sad to report this afternoon. Dan Radakovich has passed away. One time, what's the word I'm looking for? He was up for the athletics director job here a couple of years ago. I believe he was the AD at Duke.
What happened to him? It's pretty crazy.
He passed away in just old age.
Oh, how old was he?
84.
Ooh, it's a good long one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to get a good live in. He was a football player and coach back in the day at Robert Morris. Also coached in the NFL. And I don't know, maybe this is a different Radakovich. Maybe this is the guy's father. Sorry, giving out bad information.
I'm sorry.
Rest in peace anyway, sweet prince. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.